Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice.
Surely he died.
Could nobody else do it? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I'm glad of that. We acknowledge the Godhead on today. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We acknowledge you, our brothers and our sisters, our family, and Jesus. We thank God again for the opportunity to be gathered in his house.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you again, just keep those passages of scripture in mind.
Yes, Lord.
Romans 5, 1 through 11. And as we go to God in prayer. Father God, we come, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for this day.
Yes, Father.
This day, God, that you touched us with your finger of love, Father, and woke us up and gave us the opportunity, God, to praise your name one more time. We thank you, God, that even yet down here in this place, we recognize that you are God and God all by yourself, and beside you there are no others. So we ask that you have your way, bring about clarity, comprehension, bring about peace, God, in our lives. Speak to us and through us, God, so that you are glorified in all things. So I decrease now in this time of study, God, have your way. Bless us collectively, bless us individually, that we go out and be all that you have designed us to be. For we love you, we praise you, and we honor you. In Jesus, in your name, the saints of God said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, keeping those passages of scripture in mind, 5 through 11, we're not going to read them again, just keep them in mind. Just think about what it is that the Lord has done. Some years ago, the Lord gave us a message that said the problem of the heart is the heart of the problem.
Yes, sir.
So today, we kind of want to take a look at that and use as a subject today and just talk about for our consideration very briefly. And again, title this message, An Appeal to the Heart That Appeals to the Heart. An appeal to the heart that appeals to the heart. Now, our sermon text today comes from the Apostle Paul's letter to the young church established at Rome. And though you are encouraged to study the entire background text of Romans 5, 1 through 11, today we just want to tear off one verse for our dissection and election, verse 8, and just look at it and see what God has to say to us. Verse 8 says, But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, when Paul uses and says commend, he actually uses a very significant word that is employed in two ways in the New Testament. Commend sometimes means to commit or to make certain. But in the original Greek, it also means to recommend or to set forth in a way that appeals to the heart. Yeah. So that's the summary of this preachment in a nutshell. It's an appeal to the heart that appeals to the heart.
Right.
See, God is making us an offer that we can't refuse, at least not if we hear this offer with our hearts. Now, most of us are familiar with the expression, tugging at my heartstrings. Some flame or another has done that to all of us. For some, the flame is still burning brightly. For others, it went out before the fire got started. But for some, the flame has never been kindled.
Well, sir.
And that's what God wants to do today. God wants to kindle the flame and tug at our heartstrings. So there are three heartstrings that God wants to pull on today. And let's just take a brief look at these heartstrings.
Amen.
Heartstring number one, Christ died for us. Now we want to examine the last four words first for a very good reason. It's the foundation of our faith. So there are two observations we need to make in these four simple words. First, Christ died of his own accord, and secondly, his death was for our benefit. Now, Paul doesn't describe how Christ did it, just that he did do it, and not just for the Romans to whom Paul is writing, but also for you and I who live 21 centuries after the Calvary experience. It's a permanent insurance policy, if you will, that was put in place for our benefit.
All right.
And after all these years, all of mankind can still exercise this benefit clause with God.
All right.
Now, try that with any other 21 century old insurance policy.
All right.
See if you still have any effectiveness from the one who issued that. Now, it's tough for us to understand this ultimate sacrifice of someone giving his life for another. We immediately try to put it in a context that we can understand. We envision a martyr, someone dying for the sake of making a point.
Okay.
But the only beneficial relationship we can establish between Christ and us is that when he died to crucify our sins and to take them upon himself.
All right.
Jesus wasn't making a point to prove his love. He was taking the only step available to absolve and forgive mankind of sin.
All right.
So now, if you're among those who still believe that it was not necessary for Christ to die for you, then this sermon would be for you. And if you're one of those who is fully aware and keenly attuned to the fact that his death was for your benefit, then this message should encourage you beyond measure.
Amen.
All right.
Christ died for you because in his death, your sins are taken away and you are restored to God's divine favor. There is no favor with God except through Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
No man comes to the Father but by me.
Yes, sir.
And because this truth is so critical to our salvation, Christ also elected the Lord's Supper to highlight his death as the means by which we remember his selfless and necessary act of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Christ died for us, it's true. But we need to sometimes make it more personal.
Mm.
Christ died for me.
Mm. All right.
That's the way we need to look at this. We need to understand that if I were the only wretched person on the face of the earth, he still would have yet died.
Yes, sir.
And that's what makes it matter to you. You strip away that truth, and what does it matter that a man died? What does it matter to you that a great teacher died? What does it matter to you that a martyr died? It would mean absolutely nothing.
All right.
But Christ died for you.
Yes.
And he's tugging at that heartstring right now.
Mm-hmm.
Heartstring number two. God commended his love toward us in that Christ died. Now, the very first thing we notice is Paul did not say Christ commended his love toward us in that he died. Now that we could more readily understand, because by our book, by our understanding, no one makes a man do what a man does not want to do.
Amen.
All right. We've all been there. Somebody has told you to do something, if you didn't want to do it, you just don't do it.
Amen.
We see that with our own kids.
Yes, ma'am.
If they don't want to do something, they simply will not. But this revelation comes from a different book. And in it, Paul says that it was God who did that to prove his love.
Well, sir.
Sometimes we struggle with that. Why would God sacrifice himself in the form of Jesus, his only son, on the cross of Calvary? Now, even the youngest parents understands that you don't kill your offspring.
Uh-huh.
Might cross your mind, but you don't act on that generally. We struggle with understanding the why of the crucifixion of Christ, because we failed to see that God was in Christ and that God is Christ, and therefore God was reconciling himself to the world. Yeah. Didn't Jesus say in John 10:30, I and my Father are one?
Are one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, when someone we know dies, we rush to attend the funeral, we express our deepest sympathies, and we send flowers to express our condolences, but none of those deaths have any bearing on our knowledge of God's love for us.
All right.
Only one death lifts the veil of ignorance and reveals that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
All right.
This soul death teaches us this simple truth, that the love that was in Christ is the manifestation or expression or appearance of the love of God himself.
Yes, yes.
There stands the cross, pulling at our heartstrings. Okay. The revelation of not only a brother's sacrifice, but also a father's love. Mm-hmm. This is the pulsating center of our faith. And if it's not yet part of your life experience, then you've allowed your heart to be numbed by the world that refuses to accept the love of God.
All right.
Heartstring number 3. While we were yet sinners.
Yes.
Now, what kind of love does Christ's death declare through God? It's a love that refuses to turn away from any sin. God didn't back down, no matter how painful our sins were, to his righteousness.
Well, sir.
So what motivated God to do such a thing? To send his Son and to come himself in his Son and to have his Son die for the ungodly and the sinner. Christ's death reveals a love which has its own unique origin and motive.
Yes.
We love because we fall in love with someone who's lovable. But God loves the unlovable under the impulse of his own heart. Well, God falls in love with those that can't nobody else love.
That's right.
God works with those that nobody else can work with.
Now.
God will help those that everybody else refuses to deal with.
Yeah.
All right.
God's love is no more common, no mere common affection or foolish indulgence like the kind we show when we spoil our children. God's love is a rigidly righteous love that would not allow a man to be eternally lost. Christ had to die.
Yeah.
See, just as Abraham had to be willing to give up Isaac, God was willing to give up Jesus.
All right.
And this Isaac was not spared because man had to be spared. There are some things going on that in our minds we can't really grasp and comprehend, but because God can see around the corner and see way into this 21st century, even before he formed the world, he knew that Christ had to die for us.
Yeah.
He knew that we didn't have enough sense to live, right? Our love then has its perfect speech in our surrender. When we fully surrender to the things that God is calling us to do, then we're fully showing him our love for him. We understand the surrender of love. When we love, our legs get weak, heart starts to pound, and we surrender.
All right.
So God surrendered Jesus that we might understand the depth of his love. And God is now ready to assume full responsibility for any life that is completely yielded to him. So now when we finish this sermon, we ran a spell check as we always do. And you know the little red squiggly lines come out when you have something that just don't seem to work right. But there was a red squiggly line under the word commendeth. And it kind of jumped out at us. And here was another one of those biblical words that Microsoft just does not understand.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Spellcheck told us to change it to the word commended. Mm-hmm. We tried it and then we lost the little squiggly red line. But we also lost something else that was far more valuable than 21st century grammar perfection.
Yes.
We lost the true meaning of our scripture context.
Well,
God commendeth. That's present tense. Yes. Not commended. Okay. That's past tense.
Yes, right. Yes, sir.
God's selfless expression of agape love through the surrender of Jesus is not a then kind of love. It's a now kind of love. The kind that never stops loving and has no expiration date, no matter what. It's the kind of love that sees our daily sin and crucifies it anew.
Well,
every day God sees our sin, past, present, and future. Every day God realizes our guilt, past, present, and future. Every day God knows our despair, past, present, and future. He weighs our burdens, past, present, and future. He witnesses our weakness, past, present, and future. And he observes our hopelessness, past, present, and future. But God made a road in that wilderness of sin, and he marked that road with one repeated sign that shows up at every twist and turn.
Right.
The sign reads, Christ died for you.
All right. Hallelujah.
Well,
yes, sir.
Well,
yes, sir.
Well,
power of God's love,
yeah,
expressed through the death of his only begotten son, follows us through every generation's journey towards certain death. And if you desire a better end to your journey, all you have to do is yield to the sign.
Yes, Lord.
For many years, there was a pastor named Bruce Larson. He worked in New York City. And he counseled hundreds and hundreds of folks at his office who were wrestling with this simple yes or no decision. So he would often suggest that they walk with him from his office down to the RCA building on Fifth Avenue. And in the entrance of that building is a gigantic statue of Atlas, a beautifully proportioned man who, with all of his muscles straining, is holding the world upon his shoulders. And there he is, the most powerfully built man in the world, and he can barely stand up under this burden. Now, that's one way to live, he would always point out to these folks, trying to carry the world on your own shoulders.
Well,
and he said, but now come across the street with me. And on the other side of Fifth Avenue is St. Patrick's Cathedral.
All right. Yes.
And there behind a high altar is a little shrine of the boy Jesus, probably 8 or 9 years old. And with no effort at all, he is holding the world in one hand.
Glory to God.
And his point was illustrated graphically. We have a choice, Larson would often tell these people. We can carry the world on our shoulders, or we can say, Lord, I give up. Here's my life.
Yes.
I give you, Lord, my world, my whole world.
Yes.
You carry this
Hallelujah.
Thing. So if God's appeal to your heart does not appeal to your heart, you might want to see a heart specialist.
Come on.
And it just so happens.
Come on.
That the best heart specialist in the universe is here right now.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And his name is Jesus.
Yes.
You see, one way or another, Christ intends to get your attention.
Yes.
One way or another, Christ will pierce your stiff outer shell and touch your heart.
Yes.
Don't tell him to leave you alone because he won't listen to you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Come on now.
You'll sense his presence with every sin you commit.
Yes.
And you'll feel his love with every disappointment you face.
Mm.
The best thing about this is you'll perceive his perfection with every bad decision you make.
Oh.
All right.
Christ will be a thorn in your side until you allow him to become joy in your heart.
Yeah.
Christ won't give up on you because God won't stop loving you.
Thank you, Lord.
Christ won't ever leave you alone because God will never abandon you.
Yes.
The sign is coming up right now. Some of the signs that we're seeing are the signs.
Yes.
The sign that says Christ died for you.
Yes. Yes.
Here's a hurricane in places that don't have water. Christ died for you.
Yes.
Volcanoes going off that haven't erupted in 2 centuries. Christ died for you. So don't you feel him tugging at your heartstrings?
Yes.
I know we purport and purpose to do the best that we can. But there are times when we simply become weak.
Yeah.
There are times when we simply mess up.
Yeah.
There are times when he's telling us to do something, but we just don't get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's you, now is your time to yield to the leading of his spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Now is the time to allow him to make a decision for you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when we can't make decisions, then we have to allow him to be the deciding factor.
Yes, that's it.
I've been in situations that I knew weren't where I was supposed to be, doing what I knew I wasn't supposed to do.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But when I yielded to Christ, that way of escape that he has laid out,
Amen.
It's always there.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes we say, well, Lord, I knew I was messing up. I was trying to find a way out, but I just couldn't see it. The problem is, if you really look for a way out, it's always visible and clear.
Amen. Yeah. If you're looking. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
right. But you got to be looking.
That's right.
Some of the stuff we get ourselves into. But there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's an appeal to the heart that appeals to your heart. And if you're already saved, then you ought to be encouraged by the fact that Christ died.
Yeah.
Just for you. But if you're not saved, if you're not sure that you're saved, you have no real firm conviction in your place after you leave here, then this appeal is just for you. If you are established firmly in the household of faith, and you know without a doubt that when you leave here, you just simply reside with Christ, then the appeal for you is greater service.
Amen.
Do more and do more often. That's all he's calling you to do. This is the opportunity today for us to pray for those who God has put on our hearts. Their friends, their loved ones, folks who just need healing, folks who are in bad situations, folks who got things going on and they can't understand. This is our opportunity right now to pray for them. I'm going to ask us to stand briefly as we listen to the Spirit of God talking to us. And whoever he is putting on our hearts today, we just want you to intercede for him. We don't have to go in detail. We don't have to just call their name and say, God wants me to pray for this person today. And if you yourself stand in the need of prayer, then this is your opportunity to come forth and say to this body of believers that God wants you to pray for me.
Amen.
Oh, how he
because this is the time, the place, the opportunity to find healing and direction, to find faith and favor, to find joy and peace. God's goodness and God's grace, this is your opportunity.
Oh, how he loves me.
Them and we can pray with them, pray for them, so that we can all be on one accord with what it is that God is saying to his people.
Amen. Giving my praise to God for first come standing in the gap for little Ezekiel. He's been sick. I come praying for the doctor's competence and knowledge that they don't over-medicate him, and that, you know, he pulls through soon, speedily. I also come praying for the urgency to really, awesomely, and wholly surrender unto God. I stand for myself and the rest of the body of Christ. The word said in the end days, the days will become shorter. The report on the day of the start of the earthquake, the earth's mass changed and it sped up the rotation, making that day shorter. So time is out. I also come standing in the gap for all those who are deceived. I was reading the urban spectrum. It wasn't even the body of Christ. And I counted five people who openly called themselves reverend. And it bothered me because it was so blatant when the word said only Christ is named reverend. And it hurt my heart that it was just so blatant. The disobedience in the body is too much. And to be drawn closer and to unite and for people to be saved, we can't be blatantly disobedient. I also come standing for salvation for all of, not our enemies, but those who are enemies of Christ. I come praying for their salvation and their souls to be saved. And I come for the praise report of Auntie Vaughn getting here safely with no breaks on her plane. I come praising God that she was able to land safely as well as everyone else.
Amen. We thank God for those various prayer requests and testimonies and the praise report. I often tell people, when I'm flying, there seems to be a lot of people who are scared of takeoff and landing. But I always tell them at landing that basically it's not the brakes that's stopping this thing anyway. You're going 570 miles an hour and you got 2,700 feet to stop a projectile that is full of fuel, a keg of dynamite that you're riding in. And you're worried about brake shoes. Understand who really brought this together. So we thank God today. That God keep me focused and centered, and not be distracted by the people that I have to interact with, some of the things that are offered along the way. And so I just ask for God's goodness and grace in that. Amen. Are there other requests, testimonies?
I'd like us to keep on our prayer list Dr. Carter's father. His name is Dr. Corey, C-O-R-Y, Stout. He was admitted back into the hospital with pneumonia. His health is very compromised, and I know the days, as all our days are numbered, but we need to pray for that whole family.
Amen. Also add to our prayer list Sister Ola, Sister Linda,
Mishael.
I think that's all I can remember at this point. Just keep them in your prayer, that God would continue to cover them. Amen.
All praise be unto God and honor to our pastor, First Lady, and family. I also wanted to ask that the church pray for my mother. And for Dewey, as she is striving to do what God has called her to do. And she's finding that he's running from God. So he knows from our conversations, he knows that God will work quickly in their lives.
Amen. 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 Certainly keep them in prayer. At Dalen. Amen. Yes. To the prayer.
I would like to place the Carrington family on the prayer list. My nephew in Springfield, Massachusetts passed, and we need to keep that family in prayer. The extended family lives in the immediate family lives in Springfield, Massachusetts. The extended family lives in Michigan, Savannah, Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan. If we would keep that family in prayer.
Amen.
Man, so again, family that Nana has added to our prayer list. Then I want us to just make a promise, all of us, that we will pray for each other at least one time a week. We ought to do it daily, but at least one time a week. And we just pray for each other, because that's going to be vital to sustaining one another in the times that are coming. And so we thank God for just continued strength and direction. Amen. There are others? Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. Continue to pray for all of our students who are in school. The weather's getting nice. So they're about to lose their minds. And so we just need to pray for ours, God's continued protection and wisdom. That's going to be the key for these kids. Wisdom. To make wise, strong, courageous decisions. Yes, obedience, but these young people are going to have to make some courageous, bold decisions. And the boldness might simply just come in the word no. I ain't going. So let's keep them in prayer. Everybody just touch whoever is next to you. Joe, Anthony, would you just slide over? Slide over this way.
Trey.
Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we come, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for these your people, God, who have come sharing their various prayer requests, praise reports, the testimonies, God, that you have laid upon our hearts. We thank you, God, for all of the opportunities that we have to come to you and turn ourselves over to you fully. So bless us, God, individually and collectively. Bless us, God, in this hour as we move forward. We thank you, God, that you are our Lord, our Savior, our Alpha and Omega. So as we stand in the gap for others, God, we thank you for wisdom that will come. Those things, God, that you would have us to do that allow us to go forward knowing full well, God, that we are pleasing in your sight. So we acquiesce and surrender to you now, God. Thank you for the leading of your spirit as we go forward. We love you, we praise you, adore you, and appreciate you. And Jesus, in your holy and righteous name, the saints of God say amen and amen.
Amen, baby.
Amen.
God bless you.